I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, Dr. Prather, let's start with our usual COVID update.
Okay.
What is going on with the door-to-door Biden administration program?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about that, but it started 2 weeks ago. So they are officially going door-to-door and asking people if they've had the vaccination. And if you don't have it, they have someone who will actually give you a vaccination while they're there.
So we're in the middle of July. This started in July.
Sure.
Okay.
And, you know, that's something that they said that they were going to do. And all of a sudden, they're out doing it. So it is in process, just so that people are aware. What they're doing is targeting counties which have the lowest vaccination rate and going from door to door and asking you a series of questions and then checking to see if you want to get the vaccine while they're there.
Huh.
Now, before they had offered like a, there was a lottery. So if you got a vaccination in Ohio, then you were entered for a $1 million lottery.
Seriously?
Seriously. They also...
Is that called incentivizing?
There was free beer, free ice cream, babysitting. There's all sorts of different types of perks on different places to get you to go in and get your vaccination. So the reason that they are being told that they're doing that is because they're concerned for our health.
Okay. Why the ice cream? And beer.
Well, actually, I think there was one place where they were offering marijuana. And I think in Colorado or something like that. So, I don't know.
It seemed to happen like suddenly. We were hearing about it, and then all of a sudden it's happening.
Yeah, with the door-to-door. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot of different types of thought patterns on that. Some people are saying that this is a complete invasion of privacy, that it's coercion. They are keeping records on where they went and who said what. So, you know, there's a lot of people who are looking at this as invasion and not willing to even answer the door when they come by. Mm-hmm. So there are thought processes along that. And it brings up a lot of questions and just thought processes on it certainly can lead to a lot of conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are like, this is wonderful. You know, what this does is it cuts out the process of people having to go there, making an appointment, and trying to break down barriers is what the Biden administration's saying is the reason that they're doing this. To make it as easy for people, and if people refuse, you know, that's up to them. It's no big deal.
It kind of reminds me of the voting.
But they are actually taking down your name and whether you've, you know, how you answer it on whether you had the vaccination or not. And
whether you answered your door or not.
Right. It's like, I'm not.
Uh-huh.
You know, it makes people wonder. So don't be surprised if somebody comes up and knocks on your door and asks you if you've been vaccinated or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where that leads to on everything else, I don't know. There's a lot of people who are saying, you know, don't answer the door. Definitely don't let them into your house because they're up to no good. There are other people who are championing this and saying this is the best thing since lottery and ice cream. But it gives you pause.
Uh-huh. Yes. People don't solicit. You know, people don't go to door-to-door anymore.
Right.
You know, even though
we have a no soliciting thing, but federally, I guess they're excused.
Yeah, a lot going on federally.
Right. And the state that it actually started out was in North Carolina. South Carolina governor said, don't dare come into my state.
Really?
So I don't know if there are states that they're going to be barred. Federally, they say we have the complete right to do this, and their goal is to hit everybody in America, is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And they started it without any congressional approval, any debate. It's just something that has been mandated from the Biden administration.
Okay, interesting. Is there going to be a vaccine passport?
That's a big question, and there has been a lot of talk about it. The Biden administration has given out different signals along those lines. Human Health and Services said, yeah, we're going to need a passport. Biden has, they've said, no, we're not going to, you know, let private people do that. It is happening in China and France. The EU government is saying that definitely they're going to have a passport out there. Australia, New Zealand, definitely France and China have already basically implemented something along those lines. And so this is something that has mixed signals from our government right now. One of the things is that there's a definite trend across the entire world that you cannot travel. In France, you can't go to restaurants, can't go to stores.
That's happening right now.
That is happening right now.
If you're unvaccinated.
If you're unvaccinated. They have said any type of a cafe, restaurant, they are supposed to check to see if you have a vaccine passport before they will let you in. Bars in the United Kingdom have been said that unless you have a passport, you can't go in. So there's a lot of pushback on that. There's a lot of problems that are associated with that. The Association of Bars in United Kingdom basically said some unkind words with some gestures when they actually said, we're not going to do it. They are in France. It's fines of almost like $100,000.
Fines for what?
If you actually serve someone without a vaccine passport. And closing of that, and as much as 5 years in jail.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So
is this infringing on our health freedoms?
I don't think so. It sounds like, you know, it's very legal and very ethical. Of course it is. You know, it's basically determining what happens to your body and where does that stop? You know, if they can sit there and say, you know, you are required to get this vaccination, you really don't have a choice. Now, Biden says we're not going to hold people down and give it to them. We're just not going to let them leave their house. And even then, they're coming to our houses now.
Right.
So where does it stop? One of the things that it can actually come down to is, what, you know, if this is for the good of society, what if they say, well, you know what, we have too many people. You can't have any, you know, you can only have one child like they did in China. Or you can even go into euthanasia at that point. You know, if the government has complete control, who owns your health?
Right.
Whose responsibility is it? Well, we're looking out for the public good and for the majority of people. So the individual has to give up all their rights to life itself. And we make your choices on your life and how you live, how you treat yourself, and whether you live or die is basically where it's going to and what the government is saying. We have that right. We own you. And whether we as Americans are willing to say, we are your slaves, you own us, you can tell us whatever to do with our lives, with our freedom, and with our health.
Right, right.
That is basically what the government is saying at this point, is you are not a sovereign individual. You do not have rights over your own self. We have complete jurisdiction over who and what you do.
And do you feel like they're watching how we respond? It just seems to have happened so quickly.
Well, there was an awful lot of pushback. They had found that the mask mandate was basically becoming so unpopular that they dropped it, so that they wouldn't get more pushback. There wasn't anything that had really changed per se. It's just that, oh, okay, now we don't need masks, but we did before. You know, in other words, there's a lot of inconsistencies, and it depends on how Americans respond with what type of force and determines what their policies are. So, you know, it's something to consider and say, this can maybe not go any farther.
What am I going to stand for?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we are involved in a group called
Stand for Health Freedom. Yes.
Right. And that's something that people can look up and get involved in, because there is a big movement along those lines saying, I'm sorry, government, you know, you can put out different types of things, but having complete control over our health, what's put into our bodies, should not be the government's decision, but should be on an individual basis.
Okay. So there's a lot there.
Well, you know, if, and also as you're looking at this, it's a very definite philosophical type of difference. Almost for the Democrats, It's over 90% on vaccination rate, quickly approaching almost 100% for Democrats, with a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of support for saying to other people, this is for the public good, you have to do this, and we're not really giving you a choice. The Republicans have basically come out, and 50% of all Republicans are saying no to the vaccination.
50%.
50%.
We're almost 100% Democrat.
Correct.
Wow.
So there's a very big ideological divide that's going on here. And most Republicans, even those who got the vaccination, say it should be on an individual choice. Whereas the Democrats are basically saying it is not an individual choice.
Okay.
This is for the public.
So who's dying, vaccinated or unvaccinated?
Well, that's one of the biggest things that the Biden administration and the Health Human Services and the CDC is coming out saying that the only people who are dying from the COVID-19 right now are unvaccinated people, according to what they're saying. The interesting thing is that the people who have done the largest amount of vaccinations and have kept probably the best records are Israel and the United Kingdom. According to their statistics and what they're seeing, they see no difference between those who are vaccinated and unvaccinated. On the death rate or hospitalization rate, that they see no difference along those lines. And why that's only applying to the United States, that it's the unvaccinated that are dying, because that's the biggest thing that is a push. And one of the biggest reasons that they're going door to door is to go and save the unvaccinated, is what they're putting it out to. Now, this is a very important type of a statistic to actually understand. It makes a lot more sense if it is true here in the United States that it's only the unvaccinated that are dying and getting hospitalized, and there is none of that. They're saying that there are none of the vaccinated people are dying and having issues with this. However, I personally know that that is not true. Because I am aware of situations where people have been vaccinated and have actually died and have been hospitalized. So according to the United States government, that is not true. Now, according to the statistics in Israel and the United Kingdom, it must be different there because they are finding absolutely no difference between the two groups.
What's happening with the Delta variant?
The Delta variant is now 75% of all cases in Indiana.
In Indiana, that's 75%.
And it's pretty much going across the whole United States, is that the Delta variant is the dominant variant, and that is basically what's going on. And that's one of the reasons that they have really pushed for an increase in the vaccination rate. Because they're saying we have a whole new pandemic going on and we need to get people vaccinated so we don't have to go into lockdown and masking and have a surge like we did before. So that's one of the basic types of things that they're pushing on that. And they're finding that the Delta variant is more virulent among younger people, that they're catching it and re-catching it, you know, even if they've had it before. And that's why they've extended and pushing for the vaccination for younger people too, because of the Delta variant is the main thing that they're actually pushing along. So that's one of the justifications for the big push for vaccinations at this point.
Okay. We've gone way over this first segment, but such important information. One last question for the segment, and then what is the latest on the campaign against health misinformation?
Well, the Surgeon General issues a health misinformation advisory that we do need to do more to cut down on health misinformation, that the only place that information should be coming from is the government and no outside sources. Now, some of the people who have been actually censored on the whole thing was the gentleman who actually invented the mRNA vaccination and started the company Moderna. He is now banned from social media. We have the top infectious disease doctors who have a group of them who actually account for 80% of all publications in peer-reviewed journals have all been banned from social media. So we're talking about top experts who have been recognized who are very much involved, and their voices are no longer to be heard on social media, and they have been banned from any type of publications. So we have the experts who are acknowledged experts, mm-hmm. who are no longer allowed to give information to or share information among peers because it doesn't agree with the government position. Mm-hmm. So there is now no longer allowed any dissent, even from those who are acknowledged as the top experts.
Okay. Well, a lot of information here to digest that you're right. sharing.
And I hope you all have a great day.
You got to laugh, right?
You got to laugh. Right. And it really starts to go,
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I don't know if I should thank you, Dr. Prather.
I don't think you should.
All right, that's our COVID update. When we come back, we're going to talk about our program, Holistic Heart. We're going to talk about the heart. We'll be right back.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in our relaxing spa at Holistic Integration. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology.
What professionals out there use the rapid release technology?
It was invented by a chiropractor, and chiropractors actually are really quite innovative and have come up with quite a few devices. So chiropractors obviously were the first ones to start using it. Physical therapists, occupational therapists, massage therapists are also using it. Athletic trainers,
the NFL, NBA.
NBA, NHL, PGA. So it's very important for sports. A lot of Olympic athletes are using that to maintain the function of their body. So for sports, for recovery, even after surgeries, headache clinics are using it.
I've even taken the softer head over someone's cranium and that back occiput area.
Sure.
And you know, we have sutures in our skull and work the sutures with it. The headache people just love that.
You just see people kind of drifting off.
Uh-huh.
So during the treatment, if you're not careful, I mean, people are just going to fall asleep on you.
That's all right. TMJ, using that small head.
Yeah, and temporomandibular joint syndrome can be very, very devastating to people. Getting that under control can really help out. One of the things that's very interesting is that we used it for people with depression even. One of the things that occurs with depression, pain can kind of kick that off. And then also the levator scapula. As you release that, then all of a sudden people can start breathing.
Those are up in the neck area, that upper back.
We call those the tension muscle mm-hmm. headaches. Getting that release can actually change people's anxiety levels and decrease their depression levels.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through Rapid Release's high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid release therapy by scheduling an appointment at Holistic Integration. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid release banner and enter code PRATHER, P-R-A-T-H-E-R, for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
Leah Wilson, Executive Director and Co-Founder of Stand for Health Freedom.
Whatever happens at the university level and the healthcare level will be a blueprint for the rest of society. We currently have a campaign going asking our lawmakers to come back into session to close the loopholes that allow discrimination based on our healthcare decisions. A lot of people wonder, like, how can they force us to do things? We have a constitution. And the encouraging thing is that people are challenging this issue. Groups are coming together, and that's what it requires, is getting organized, unifying with a message. We have a campaign in Indiana right now. If you text in and you text the number 50457 with the word Hoosier, then you will get a link to take action on this campaign. We are all affected by this issue. Ultimately, how this issue is decided will affect each of us and will affect what we accept as Hoosiers. So take action on that campaign and share it with your friends and family. Oh, oh, I feel good today.
Yes, I do. Ooh.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, we're going to talk about holistic heart. Change the subject.
All right.
We need to be focusing on our health right now. Very important. A lot going on in the world.
Very important.
It's very important to keep our health up.
Yes. A tremendous number of people are coming in with high stress.
Mm-hmm.
These are stressful times.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do about it?
Right.
Because the stress will actually make you more susceptible to heart disease, cancer, and even infection. So, you know, being aware of that and taking the necessary types of steps to help along those lines is very important.
So let's talk about the heart. What is Holistic Heart?
Holistic Heart is a new division of our office where we're concentrating on cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not just concentrating on cardiovascular disease in the traditional sense, though that's a very important part of it. It reflects our whole model. Our top tier, what our basis is, holistic integration. So holistic integration has the holistic part, which is the structure function. Homeostasis is the basis of structure function, which is the balance and the healing and the improvement of health in the body. And we look at the body in a very holistic type of way.
Yeah.
Integration is where we are then connecting to the medical model that is presently dominant in the United States and getting the best of both worlds. Our philosophy is 80% of all treatment should be structure function based, 20% disease care based, which is pharmaceuticals and surgery. So we know that we'll get the best outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So with the heart, with cardiovascular system, that is one of the major areas. So we have a space along those lines now that we are concentrating solely on that, along with our, which we have now a cardiologist on staff to help us to get the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. So what is the philosophy behind Holistic Heart?
Well, Holistic Heart, we are in a transition in the whole cardiovascular system on how we're actually treating it.
Mm-hmm.
Even medically, there's a big shakeup that's going on. So we want to be on the forefront of the new way of approaching cardiovascular disease, as well as all different types of diseases. But cardiovascular disease, of course, is our number one killer,
mm-hmm.
and something that we now really need to concentrate on. And with that, we are getting behind that and seeing how these changes can actually take place and become a standard part of cardiovascular disease elimination.
Mm. So how common is cardiovascular disease?
Well, cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of death in the United States.
Mm.
One person dies every 36 seconds from cardiovascular disease.
In the United States?
In the United States.
Every 36 seconds?
Every 36 seconds, someone dies,
wow.
which is a lot more than with the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So 655,000 people die from cardiovascular disease a year, and it accounts actually for 1 in 4 deaths. Matter of fact, one of the biggest things that was occurring was a lot of the COVID-19 deaths were actually people who were in stage of cardiovascular disease.
Mm.
And those people had a much more higher mortality rate having the COVID-19 and really accounted for a lot of the deaths that were counted towards COVID-19 were people who were probably going to die anyway from cardiovascular disease. It just, the COVID-19 could have sped it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that is a major underlying problem. And if we didn't have the major problem of the cardiovascular disease, far few people would have died from the COVID-19.
Right.
So this is a major, the number one health concern in America is this.
So what diagnostics do you do for cardiovascular disease?
Of course, we do all the standard types of tests, and we have a cardiologist who interprets them for us. So all the different types of things that you could possibly do with the heart. Of course, the gold standard is the echo, which is something that we have done on our patients. So we do all the standards, but we then also do quite a few different types of things that most cardiologists don't do. Mm-hmm. So we look at hair analysis because the minerals play such a big role. We're much more thorough on looking at all the different types of blood tests that could be done. We also do a NutriEval where we can break down on the deficiencies in the body and actually know what's going on because, truthfully, 80% of the problems with the heart are really nutritionally based. You know, where there are deficiencies that are going on that leads to the heart having the problems that they're experiencing. You know, when you're talking about the heart, how much work is done on that, the average heart is about the size of an adult fist. The heart beats 115,000 times a day.
Wow. 115,000.
115,000 times a day. And it pumps out 200 gallons of blood a day. Mm. So, you know, when you're talking it's a working.
Uh-huh.
And you can see where if things aren't optimally that you're going to start to have some heart problems. So looking at it as, you know, our old faithful, you know, it doesn't get a whole lot of attention along those lines. Mm-hmm. But it is something that we all know that we absolutely need. And there's only one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't have a backup in there.
Right.
So how we take care of that heart is very, very important.
So what has research shown about the common treatments for cardiovascular disease?
Well, one of the biggest things that was a huge part of treating cardiovascular disease is the surgical method.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stents, bypasses are kind of the standard type of area. And the National Institute of Health did a very, very thorough study over that over 5 years to find out how effective and how much of a change it makes to have the stents and the surgeries actually done. And their conclusion was not so much.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. The only difference that it makes is if it's an emergency. So emergency surgery is very, very beneficial, which is one of the things that we look at is that we find that really where disease care shines through is in the emergencies. Mm-hmm. So if you're having a heart attack, I would prefer you to go to the emergency room, not to my office.
Right.
Because they actually do a much better job.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, if you're talking about long-term health of the heart, structure function care does the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the old model and insurance companies are really looking at that, whether they should be paying for those anymore. And that really the idea of the surgeries at this point is one of the biggest money makers for hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of pushback from it. But the research that the National Institute of Health actually did was pretty clear cut that the results on that were zero.
Okay. Interesting. When we come back, more on holistic heart. We'll be right back.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
I discovered my wife had a brain tumor. It was removed. She's great. Thank you. I didn't remove it. I was in the other room soiling myself, but the tumor is gone, along with my ability to ever win another argument. It's not like I was winning a lot before, but now I'm retired. And luckily, my wife's not the type to bring it up. Well, once she did. She was like, you know, I did have brain surgery. And I couldn't be like, yeah, that was like a month ago. It's time to move on, you know? What about my seasonal allergies? We all have our cross to bear.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration.
Why is acupuncture so important for these COVID long haulers?
The interesting part is the electromagnetic energy. These people seem to be extremely sensitive. I tell them, don't get on the computer. Don't really have your iPhone around you. Try to avoid areas where there's a lot of computer activity because they are very sensitive to electromagnetic energy right now. When we do their analysis, their blood work looks good. All of their lab values look good. But we do something called a phase angle. And the phase angle shows up the electromagnetic charge around the cells, and that's really what makes the cell work properly. And I look at that and everything looks good except their electromagnetic charge are really, really low, and so that seems to be the real key. Acupuncture increases that electromagnetic charge.
Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048. Holistic Integration, restoring hope.
Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with 5 built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces such as fingers, wrists, and ankles. Powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably, and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the Rapid Release banner and enter code PRAYTHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. Well, we're talking today about the heart, Holistic Heart, a program we have at Holistic Integration. And you made a strong statement before we went to break about
bypass surgery and stents. And I actually didn't make that statement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quoting.
Quoting.
There was no difference. And what they were saying is that it's not that you ignore it, but that medication actually has as much benefit with really no changes having stents and bypass surgery on the longevity or incidence of the cardiovascular disease from there.
Okay.
So, and that was, I was actually very surprised about that.
Because
I thought that there would be some definite benefit.
And this was information?
National Institute of Health.
Okay.
From the research that they did.
I just wanted to clarify that. Let's talk about the ECP and how it can help with cardiovascular disease.
External counterpulsation therapy. That's something that's been around for 60 years. It was developed by Harvard Medical University. And therefore, while every cardiologist in the United States had one, because what they were finding was that this really, well, the whole thing is if you look at the information that on treating, what is the scientific information on what works on treating the heart?
Mm-hmm.
They have quite a few different medications that are very effective. It is now found that most of the surgeries aren't effective that they thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
The medications, there's quite a few for different types of conditions. But the one thing that makes the biggest difference on cardiovascular health is aerobic exercise.
Mm-hmm.
If you take every single condition of the cardiovascular system and you say, what is the common factor that makes the biggest difference on heart health, it's aerobic exercise. So that is the big panacea for this problem. And one of the main issues that we have with America today, why it's the number one killer, is because people aren't doing aerobic exercise on a regular basis.
Right.
So, but when you get someone in congestive heart failure, you know, a lot of the people who we sit there and say, you need to do aerobic exercise, they say, Doc, I can't walk up the stairs.
Right.
how am I going to do aerobic exercise? So Harvard Medical University came up with a device, external counterpulsation, where you get the same effects as doing aerobic exercise. Matter of fact, all the benefits except weight loss for the cardiovascular system with this machine, and the machine actually does it for you. So the big thing that they say is that you get the benefit of 5 years of marathon training in 7 weeks doing ECP.
Wow.
So yeah, it's pretty dramatic.
So what was your inspiration for starting ECP in your office?
Well, I had a patient who came in, and he was having cardiovascular disease, and I could see that he was just really getting to a point. So I called around all the cardiologists and said, you know, and I had some friends who are cardiologists, and said, you know, I need this patient to get on ECP. I know that you have a unit. And at that time, all of them did. None of the cardiologists do now. He said, you know, I can't. And I said, you know, no, this guy is willing to pay for it. You know, you don't have to go through insurance, but he needs ECP, otherwise he's going to die. He said, I agree with you, but I can't do it because the ECP has been classified as a structure function device. Mm. Now, how you become a structure function device is that if the only way that you can be classified as a disease care procedure or product is if you have negative results that are associated with it. So if it doesn't cause death and disease, then it can't be classified as a disease care. It can only be classified as a structure function. And he says, I am not classified as a structure function doctor. So I therefore cannot do this procedure anymore. He said, and you are a structure function doctor. You do it if you want it done. And so I went, started the process, made sure that that was something I could do, and got that on board so that I could start to fulfill my calling as a structure function doctor and provide that for the patient. Unfortunately, it was too late for this patient. This patient had already died by the time that it came in, which was heartrending because everybody loved this guy. You know, he was just someone who was just amazing. And seeing someone die along those lines and not having that was something that I really felt that I needed to change and start to implement that in the office. And that's also why we started Holistic Heart, is because this is the number one killer. And I think that really the thing that can turn this around, where we can actually get probably an 80 to 85% improvement in cardiovascular outcomes, is by implementing structure function care also into the heart care system.
Well, let's talk about different treatments, structure function treatments also for cardiovascular. How important are minerals in your treatment for cardiovascular issues?
Absolutely critical. The great cardiologists already know, and if you look at the textbooks, balancing out the minerals is one of the most important things. Because, again, the heart is beating so often, it's the mineral pathways on there that allow the muscles to actually work. And if those minerals get out of balance, then you actually get abnormal heart rhythms. So one of the quickest ways that you can improve function of the heart is to balance out the minerals and get the minerals to where they need to be so the heart has the tools to be able to work correctly.
And we check minerals through a hair analysis.
Hair analysis and blood tests. The combination of the two really gives us the picture that we need.
So why is magnesium so important to heart health?
Well, an example of that is I had a patient who was under quite a bit of stress, and his wife insisted that he come into the office and get checked out because there had been three people in her, in his company, which was going bankrupt, who had died from a heart attack. She just had a feeling that he would probably be next. So as we did his blood work, the lab actually called me with an emergency and said, hey, you need to get a hold of this guy now. I said, why? Because his magnesium was so low that he was going to fall over dead then. I said, well, you know, how soon do we need to get him on the magnesium? They said, now. So have him go to a health food store and buy all the magnesiums there and start taking them now. So we called him, got him out there, made sure that the magnesium balanced out. But the number one, you know, you hear about these guys who are out on the golf course in their 50s.
Tennis courts.
Mm-hmm. Fall over dead, mm-hmm. and they had a sudden heart attack. Well, what happened was that they had been stressed out, because men, when they're stressed, burn up magnesium. And if the magnesium gets too low, then they're going to have a spasm of one of the arteries. They're going to have a heart attack, fall over dead. Now, for women, it's usually potassium. Mm. So when women get stressed, they actually get low on potassium. When the potassium goes low, that's when a woman will fall over dead from a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So looking at those numbers and being aware. Matter of fact, if you're really good at it, you can actually look at an EKG and look at it and say, ah, this person is low on potassium, this person is low on magnesium, this person is off on their calcium levels, because it shows up so much in that electrical current that goes on with the heart with the different changes in the minerals. So minerals are absolutely critical to avoid those types of situations.
So magnesium for men, potassium for women
are the main things, but there can be imbalances, right, in the calcium and the sodium levels. All those different types of things play a very big role in cardiovascular health and have to be looked at very carefully. And one of the things is that is not something that cardiologists normally do.
Right.
So this is why, you know, we're combining the structure function care with the disease care model.
And we have a cardiologist on staff.
Yes.
Yes.
And again, it's an integration, because in those emergency situations, the disease care model really shines through. And there are many times that this patient needs to be on a beta blocker, mm-hmm. to actually get things under control. So there are definite times that the pharmaceuticals are necessary and do quite a bit in handling cardiovascular health.
All right. When we come back, more on holistic heart.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration.
Body composition analysis, one of our diagnostic tools that we do on every new patient.
Definitely one of my favorites.
What is body composition analysis?
What is your body made of? So doing a nice analysis along those lines, just to see how the whole body is kind of put together, you know, divides you up into the different areas. Patients are like, you got all that information from that quick little test. They're kind of blown away. But it gives me a real good handle on where we are with the patient, where we need to go. Right at the beginning, we get that before I actually even see the patient. That way I can go in, know what I'm expecting, what kind of state of health the person is in, and really gets me geared to what the patient is going to need.
Why is it important?
It really tells me the total situation of where your health is. We're going to find out the particulars. What is the physiology? What are the structural changes? You know, the structure function aspect. But this kind of gives you a grade. The body composition analysis tells me exactly where we are before we even begin.
Is it difficult to do?
From bringing in the machine to getting done, it takes about 5 minutes. And it's just a little sticky on your ankle and your
You have to lay
wrist.
Down.
Yeah, you have to lay down. You know, life is tough. It's a very, very easy, quick, definitely non-painful,
yep,
which is always great. It's a really great little test, and people like to have that to be done and see how they're improving.
Talk about the accuracy.
The accuracy on the BCA for most things is within 2%. It is used in research. So it is a research quality instrument. There are gold standard diagnostics that's basically proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. This is one of the gold standards for diagnostics.
What is measured?
To calculate your BMI.
Body mass index.
Body mass index. The percentages of your water, fat, bone, muscle, and divides that all up. And then it also does something called a phase angle. The phase angle is the electrical current around the cells. It really does an amazing job. You know, when it says body composition analysis, I completely know the basic makeup of your body.
So the BMI, body mass index, body fat percentage,
right.
Your water, how well your water is moving between the cells. Is
yes, that it? Intracellular, in and out of the cell? Extracellular, and then the total water percentage of your body.
And then the phase angle. Which is
phase angle,
very
and then
important.
Also your bone and muscle makeup.
And is it expensive?
It's free.
It's free.
Free coming into our office.
Every new patient gets that and gets all that information.
Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? Holistic Integration has received the Indy A-List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row, and we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google+. Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call Holistic Integration to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Holistic Integration, restoring hope. Don't stop. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, we're talking today about Holistic Heart at Holistic Integration. And Dr. Prather, let's talk about, we talked about the importance of minerals, and we checked that through a hair analysis. What role does free radicals play in cardiovascular health?
Sure, and what you're talking about is antioxidants are very well known to help to prevent cardiovascular disease. That's something that everybody pretty well says, including the American Heart Association. But free radicals, the reason that they have such a big deal is they go out and damage the arteries through the body. So oxidation process is where we make energy. And if things don't go right, the oxygen molecules are very unstable. And they'll kick off an electron, and that free electron that travels through the body, travels through the blood, and causes damage, is one of the major things that occur. So being aware of that and trying to get that under control is very, very critical. Mm-hmm. And the body has a lot of different types of mechanisms to try to control that, because those free radicals actually damage the arteries. That's when the body starts to lay down plaque. That's when you start to get the fat buildup. It's because of the plaque. And that's when you get atherosclerosis, which causes damage throughout the whole system.
Okay. So free radicals is not a good thing.
Free radicals are not a good thing.
Is lowering cholesterol enough?
Well, a very interesting thing is one of the major reasons that the body increases cholesterol level is because cholesterol helps to absorb free radicals. And one of the things is when I first started out in healthcare, way back when, the normal range that was considered by most medical doctors is you could go as high as 300 on your cholesterol and be fine. And we were talking at that time that cholesterol is a major indicator of cardiovascular disease, and we were actually poo-pooed by a lot of doctors. Oh, you know, they're being crazy.
Yeah, that was about 35 years ago.
Yeah. So it was a while ago. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden they came up with, you know, that cholesterol was such a big deal and that they had cholesterol lowering drugs. And then everybody was all concerned about cholesterol lowering. Now, the problem with that is that cholesterol is actually not the problem. So what they did is they did a big study and found that when cholesterol goes up, then cardiovascular disease increases. So it's sort of like saying that they did a study and found out that when there's more firemen, that there's more fires. So if we reduce the firemen, fire should go down.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really work because our cardiovascular rate is actually still increasing. So if this was very successful on cholesterol-lowering drugs, which so many people are on, then we would have seen a dramatic difference in cardiovascular disease. So complete failure, and it's because they don't understand. Cholesterol is extremely important. And are there times to go on cholesterol-lowering drugs? If there's, you know, extremely high, yeah, we need to get those down. We need to get those down now. But that's not going to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is underlying causes that kick off the higher cholesterol, because the cholesterol is the body's main way of protecting itself, either remaking cells because there's cellular damage,
mm-hmm.
or there's low endocrine functioning because the cholesterol is the major component to make hormones, or there's free radical damage to the arterial walls, and so the body needs to put out the cholesterol to try to, it's like a fire extinguishers for the arteries.
Mm.
And it's the free radicals oftentimes that is underlying that, and the body's just making the cholesterol to try to control the free radicals. So you're not really getting to the root of the problem, and that's really where structure function really shines through.
Right, getting now, to the root.
Definite times where you need lipid-lowering medication,
yeah.
but you have to understand that you're trying to get then to the underlying problem to fix it, because ongoing cholesterol medication is not going to be the answer.
Okay. Well, let's talk about other treatments at Holistic Integration. Can chiropractic be helpful in cardiovascular disease?
Sure. One of the big things that we test on is the vagus nerve,
mm-hmm.
because we have the cardiovagal nerve reflex that's going on, and we need to look at that because that plays a big role in many different types of cardiac conditions. We get quite a few patients with POTS disease, which is a postural orthostatic. Basically, people wind up fainting because mm-hmm. of their heart, and we usually find the vagus nerve is involved in that, and we get excellent results along those lines. AFib can be very much a vagus nerve type of problem, and chiropractic plays a very big role on that because we do pre and post checks on that, and we see a dramatic change with the chiropractic. We see a change in blood pressure, which has actually had clinical studies that show that there was an incredible improvement. And there's absolutely a strong connection between the nervous system and the heart. The heart doesn't beat 115,000 times in a day just on its own. The nervous system is what's telling it when and how to beat.
Mm-hmm.
And so dealing with the nervous system is a very, very critical part of that. And getting the nervous system working right is extremely, extremely important.
Acupuncture.
Oh, yeah. Also, we see some very excellent points. One of the things is I have at times had people come in with a heart attack. You know, when I said, don't mm-hmm. come into me. One of the first things that we do is hit some acupuncture points. And it actually always gets the EKG to settle down. So acupuncture points have a very direct result on, one, we can have excellent results on changing arrhythmias with acupuncture. We can also have excellent results, especially with hypertension. Hypertension, very responsive to acupuncture, and something that should be looked at and utilized.
How about herbals, homeopathy?
Herbals are extremely important. We have digitalis, hawthorn, alfalfa, berberine, bilberry, all these different types of things are very well known to have a great effect on the cardiovascular system. So, mm-hmm. a matter of fact, there are actually quite a few of the pharmaceuticals were based on herbs. So utilizing herbs, knowing how to do that, can have a very safe and very effective means of working with the heart. And one of the things with homeopathy, you asked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nitroglycerin.
Right.
Nitroglycerin is completely a homeopathic product. So if you are on nitroglycerin, then you are using homeopathy. And homeopathy can have an immediate effect on the heart and have some very dramatic types of effects. We use quite a few things, cactus grandiferous. We have Adonis. You know, all those different types of things on a homeopathic level are absolutely wonderful to get the heart under control.
Yeah.
So there's a huge repertoire when we're dealing with homeopathy and herbals that pharmaceuticals have not really caught up with.
Right, and when we treat the individual. We can check
find out exactly which ones are actually going to work and which ones aren't.
Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, for Holistic Heart.
Thank you, Lisa. We appreciate it.
Holistic Integration is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.